In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are all familiar with the fact that when Jesus was taken, his disciples fled. His disciples abandoned him. Even Peter denied him 3 times before the cock crew on that day. But there is something else that we're probably not quite as familiar with that we remember today. This is, we call it, the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women. But not just the myrrh-bearing women. We also remember Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Saint John the Evangelist, all on the same day. There are 8 myrrh-bearing women, and they visited the tomb, were at the cross of Christ during the crucifixion at different times. They are mentioned at different points in the 4 Gospels. But if you take all of the Gospels that mention those myrrh-bearing women and add them up together, you find that there are 8 women. 8 plus Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and St. John, the evangelist, the apostle, make 11. These are the 11 that did not abandon Christ, that did not flee. Yes, the apostles scattered, but there was still John with the mother of Christ himself, Mary, and the other myrrh-bearing women. And then, on the other hand, there is the especially interesting example, as Metropolitan Anthony of Sorzo points out to us, of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Both men were members of the Sanhedrin Council. And during Jesus' ministry, they listened carefully to everything that he said. They asked him significant questions, not to trip him up, but because they were interested in the coming of the kingdom of God. During his life, before the crucifixion, neither man ever committed himself as a disciple of Christ. But after the crucifixion, it was Joseph of Arimathea who went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. It was he who used his own tomb that had been intended to be the place where he was buried to take Jesus' body and lay it down. And Nicodemus went with him. He's not mentioned in today's reading. He's mentioned in the Gospel according to St. John. And he supplied myrrh and aloes, 100 weight, for the burial of Jesus Christ. There were those who kept faith with Jesus the Christ, even after the crucifixion, even before the resurrection. How can that be? They had seen his defeat. They had seen his crucifixion. They had seen his death. They had not yet seen his resurrection. There is something here of significance for all of us as Christians, and a great source of hope as well. In the reading from the first epistle of St. John the Evangelist, the same St. John who wrote the 4th Gospel, the same St. John that was at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Christ, and that Jesus handed his mother into the protection of, the one who is called the beloved of the Lord. We heard some passages from his first epistle, his first letter, this morning. Now we remember the beginning of the gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. John is always talking about the beginning. The beginning when God created the world, and the beginning when God recreated the world and saved that creation that he had made, including man, who stands at the center of that creation. St. John never fails to identify what Jesus is accomplished during his ministry, his crucifixion, and then his resurrection, with the beginning of creation, because this is the new beginning. And in this letter that we heard, the beginning passages from this morning, St. John says, he says so much at once. It's very difficult. We have to pay attention to everything that he says. But if we listen to everything that he says in those passages, and we state it directly, what St. John says there is this. We, the apostles, have heard and seen and touched that which was at the beginning, the Word of God, the Word of life. We have touched, heard, and seen the Word of the life that was from the beginning. In the beginning was God, God Himself. We have touched and heard and seen the one who is life. That's what he's saying. And then he says, we have fellowship with God the Father and His Son. This is what Christianity means. This is the heart of the faith. We have fellowship with God the Father and His Son. And you may have fellowship with us. Us. That us is what we call the church. You may have fellowship with God the Father, His Son, who is the Word of God from the beginning, whom they have seen and heard and touched, and have fellowship with. You may have fellowship with us. We who are at one with God the Father through Christ. That's what he said. We have touched life. We have heard life. We have heard the Word of God, which is life. There is a key there to how it is that these 11 kept faith with God, kept faith with the incarnate Son of God, Jesus the Christ, even after his death, before any sign of his resurrection. Metropolitan Anthony reminds us that there was a point earlier on when all of those who generally gathered around Jesus had left, and there were only the apostles, and things were looking very, very bad. He was about to be taken not long after that, and he turned to the apostles and he said, will you now leave me too? And Peter, who so often spoke for the other apostles, spoke for them at that time. And he said, where should we go? You have given us the words of life. Now later on, St. Peter's courage fails him, and he does deny Christ. But here he is speaking the truth on behalf of all of the apostles, all of those who have experienced the presence of God in the flesh. Where else would we go? Where is there to go after having been with you? You have given us the words of life. And St. John would say in his words, you are the Word of God that is life. He is life. And they have experienced that. Those who remain faithful to him do so not out of any kind of mental or intellectual conviction about him, because he has obviously been defeated. But he still is who he is. They knew him. Their hearts knew him. Not at a mental level, not at an emotional level. Remember, the heart is not the seat of passion. The heart is the center of what we are as a human being. If we hear the Word of God that is Christ, at the center of our being. It passes beyond the filters of our mental reservations or our emotional reactions to the fact that there he is hanging destroyed upon the cross. There is still that in the center of the heart. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, after the crucifixion, that place in their heart is still keeping faith with the words that they have heard, with the word of God that they have seen. And so Joseph goes to Pilate and asks the body of Christ. And he takes him to his own tomb. There's a link there that's difficult to put into words. A link between the tomb where Joseph of Arimathea is expecting to be buried. He takes there the incarnate Son of God, the Word of God that he has heard, that has passed into his heart. He takes into his own tomb. And Nicodemus goes with him. This is a faith that is passing through the shadow of death. And yet, there is a loyalty, a faithfulness to Christ, even in the midst of death. We remember and celebrate that faith today. When we think about our lives and we think about the Christian faith, we use our minds, we use our feelings, we use our emotions. But here, at this moment, those things are off the table. They have nothing to do with the faith of these people. And ultimately, they have nothing to do with the genuine faith of any true Christian. Certainly, all of the rest of the apostles that returned to Christ had been responding at that same central level. They had been given evidence in terms of the world and its way of proving things and believing in things intellectually enough to not believe in Christ. They did not believe things about Christ. They believed in him himself. And that is a faith that can only come from the center of what and who we are. It can only come from our heart. And so we should ask ourselves if there is any way that we can see in ourselves this kind of faith. And if we don't have it, then we need to seek it. Because this is the faith that can pass through the shadow of death, as it did for these 11. In the midst of despair, in the midst of conflicts and fears in our lives, moments of darkness that cause us to doubt, that cause us to despair at an intellectual level, at an emotional level, the things that we say we believe. Moments of darkness according to the things that we believe about God and about the meaning of life. There is still something deeper. There is still something stronger. There is still a point at which we can keep faith with Christ despite everything else, because he is the Word of life. Touching him, hearing him, receiving him into our heart, into the heart of who and what we are, gives us a faith that can withstand anything. It is deeper than our understanding of ourselves. It can't be explained in rational or intellectual terms. What is it? St. John says that to us at the beginning of the letter that we heard read today from him. We have heard and seen and touched that which was at the beginning, the Word of life, God himself. If in our heart our commitment is to the one who is from the beginning, the one who is life himself, if we have heard that word, then death cannot prevail over us. There is a triumph over death here in the hearts of those that we talk about today, even before the resurrection of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.